For now, we bring you Matter of Fact with Africa Check. And we've got Africa Check team researchers, and that's Naftali Khumalo, as well as Kaylee Clifford. And we'll be looking at a number of claims this afternoon. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi. So it's been a busy time, no doubt. I've been seeing some of Africa Check's posts on my timelines because a lot has been, it's been a really heavy week where emotions have been running high, and often we make all sorts of claims to back up perhaps, or to our emotions are reinforced, further reinforced, and they deepen because of what we see, what we read, and what we post.
Mm.
How's it been?
It's been busy. It's been quite a hectic week for us, but we're still standing, and
yeah.
I think just happy to be able to provide people with this kind of information.
Yeah. Because you've had lots of requests to clarify a number of things that have been playing out in the public arena.
Yeah, so we know that xenophobic unrest has flared up again in Gauteng. We've seen the reports of looting and violence in Pretoria as well as Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's receiving a lot of attention on social media, where we're seeing images and videos being shared, supposedly showing this violence. And so a lot of our readers got in touch with us asking us to check if these videos and images were real.
Mm.
And unfortunately, what we found is that in most instances, they're actually quite unrelated to this recent outbreak.
Absolutely. In fact, last week we shared a story on the station where it was the police just sounding a warning that lots of the videos, 99%, they went as far as to say that 99% of the videos circulating online claiming to be from the looting or xenophobic, Afro-hatred, Afrophobic criminality that we saw last week were not true, that they were either from other parts of the country, they were not from this particular period, or they simply were not true. And so that was an interesting one. And on that show, that particular day, we had this influx of inquiries from our listeners asking about warnings that were circulating, that were reaching parents that they need to hurry and fetch their children from school. And lots of parents went and did that. And there was just a lot of chaos at a number of schools around the province. And even David Makura had come out to say, or to try and tell people, that there is no truth to these messages that had gone viral. So it's important that we think before we share these videos. The consequences are massive.
It is. It's incredibly important. And I mean, we also understand these attacks are happening, and it's incredibly concerning. And people share out of concern. They want to draw attention to the issue. But it also has the potential to stir even further tension and further division.
Yeah.
And if we want to solve a problem, we really need to understand it first. And we shouldn't get in the way of that by posting old and misleading content.
Absolutely. And some of this content ends up circulating and going viral in places like East Africa, places like West Africa, Nigeria, which then also informs the public opinion there, which then drives the narrative, drives the story even more. Envoys being sent to our president and countries cancelling soccer matches with our national side. So we cannot say enough about the consequences of sharing these videos. So let's start with that. So lots of requests, you came across a lot of these videos.
So we've looked at three videos in one picture. The first was posted to Twitter, supposedly depicting the situation in Johannesburg city center. At the time of publishing, it had been viewed over 189,000 times. I'm sure it's much more now.
Wow.
And the video basically shows a burning building and people trying to escape by either jumping or climbing down the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see a large crowd gathered below on the street and a number of fire trucks. And the user who posted this to Twitter alleges that this is a situation in Bree Street, and she cautions people to stay away from this area.
Yeah.
For us, there were already some visual clues which suggest the video may not be from Johannesburg. So, for example, if you look at the building, you can see that some of the signage is not written in any of South Africa's official 11 languages.
Mm-hmm.
And also members of the crowd appear to be of mainly Asian nationality.
Mm-hmm.
But to be sure, what we did was we captured a screenshot from the video. We searched Google reverse image search for it, which we've spoken about at length on the show.
Yes.
But maybe
so the video's playing, and then you capture a screenshot.
Yeah.
And then you use that image to search, reverse search where?
You need an image, so you would have to capture a still from the video.
Okay.
It's usually the first part that you see, that thumbnail.
First frame. Okay.
The first frame, exactly. And we put that into Google Image Search, and that will basically scan the internet for any previously existing versions of that picture, which is great, because if something was supposed to have happened yesterday, yet you see it's been shared online since 2 years ago, that's already a red flag.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened here. It immediately picked up a YouTube video that was posted in May 2019, so earlier this year. And it explains there that this was actually a fire that broke out in the city of Gujarat in India. So nothing to do with the violence in Johannesburg.
Nothing to do with Bree Street. Stay away from Bree Street, small street, guys, the user cautioned. And this was the video that accompanied it. And this was in Gujarat, India.
It was in India. And I think an important takeaway here is that even if, you know, you're not quite sure how to do a Google reverse image search, you don't have the time, you don't have the resources, sometimes even just looking at the comments can be really helpful, because often there's someone there who has some kind of prior knowledge or is raising really great questions about the post's authenticity or its origin. And certainly that was the case here. We had a number of social media users pointing out that this was an old video and that it doesn't even look like South Africa.
But that's the thing. That's the frustration, because what ends up getting the retweets is the false information. And we don't spend enough time. The person who's correcting the misinformation is somewhere further down in the comment section. So for that to... that doesn't get seen. The correction doesn't get seen. But as you say, for your own, for yourself, it's worth scrolling the comment section.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. And then, so your tip is what? That we check the replies?
That we check the replies. And of course, Google reverse image search is a great tool if you can do it. And on our website, africacheck.org, we have a great guide that sets out step by step how to do this on your mobile phone. So really within seconds, you should be able to verify before sharing.
Fantastic. And then there was another video. I saw this one, a video of men lying on the ground. And you see police officers as well. And it seems like they're being detained.
So this was also posted to Twitter, supposedly showing Nigerians facing deportation in South Africa. And as you say, you can see rows of men lying face down on the ground in front of a large building. And behind them, you can see more men kind of walking in single file with their hands behind their head. And then you have these South African policemen that are giving out instructions. Again, we captured a screenshot from the video and we searched Google for the image. And first in the list of the results was a May 2018 article by The Citizen, where it explains that this was actually a cash in transit heist that took place in Boksburg. And the police then followed perpetrators to the George Gough Hostel in Johannesburg. That's the building that you see in the video.
Right.
And residents were made to exit the building and they were searched and four men were arrested. We did also try to get in touch with the Gauteng South African Police Service to find out a bit more about what happened there. At the time of publishing, they had not come back to us. But already, as we say, the fact that this was meant to have happened in the last few days, but it had existed online since May 2018, is already evidence enough that it can't have happened in the last few days.
So we know the source of that video then, unrelated yet again. And I can imagine what this kind of video, the kind of perception it creates in Nigeria, or to Twitter users who are Nigerian, located maybe around the world and in Nigeria, about what is going on with their countrymen in South Africa.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can create a lot of distortions of events that played out. And then there is a very gruesome video. Some of these you can't watch to the end. And this was one of those. It's a gruesome video of so-called mob justice in Hillbrow.
Yeah, so incredibly difficult to watch. We would advise you at discretion. But this was also posted to Twitter in the last few days. Very briefly, it shows a man on fire and he's struggling, running across the street, eventually falls down. But the person who posted this to Twitter alleges that it's South African xenophobia today. Again, we took a screenshot of the video. We searched Google for the image, and the results suggested to us immediately that this was actually from an incident of mob justice in Hillbrow earlier this year. So what happened was in January, a man allegedly stole a woman's handbag off the street, and residents in that area chased the man down and took matters into their own hands. And that's where this video comes from.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's still a gruesome thing. It's still absolutely terrible, but it's been used then to locate it within this particular time. And then there's another one as well of a man on fire.
Yes, yeah, so this is a similar picture of a man on fire also posted to Twitter, this time by a Nigerian rapper called Scales. He was basically expressing his concern over the latest outbreak of violence. And so he shared this picture with his 560,000 followers. And in the picture, you can see the man kneeling on the ground, and then there are two South African policemen standing behind him. And Scale says that, you know, if this picture is recent, it just shows that South Africa's never recovered from apartheid, if this is the kind of thing that goes on in our country. But actually, we looked into this image already in 2015, when it was posted then as well, also attributed to xenophobic violence that was ongoing at the time. And we found that it was not recent at all. It was taken during the first outbreak of xenophobic attacks in 2008. And this is a Mozambican national that was set on fire outside of Johannesburg.
Yeah, that was, it's still shocking today. It's still absolutely unbelievable today. So this related to xenophobic violence, but of a previous wave. And it's still just so hard to see. So even for them to make the rounds again, it's almost like the re-traumatization of anyone who gets to view these videos, because they're horrific. They're horrific to watch.
Yeah, and they cause panic. I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with this, the speed at which these things spread. And you were talking about the reports of kids apparently being kidnapped in Katlehong and parents rushing to remove their kids from school. And it's late to find out that nothing else was happening.
Yeah.
So it does cause panic, but it's also quite a personal issue. You know, when we talk about issues of xenophobia, people are really emotionally invested, and sometimes these posts play on that.
Yeah. So and they really can actually go on to fuel more tensions.
Yeah.
So we do have to be mindful. But I do want to take your call, 011-883-0702-31702, for your thoughts on the way videos just tend to go viral and the risks that they pose in society. I think we do need to start having a conversation, and perhaps even technology developers who will, I don't know, something needs to be created to help us discern and be able to far quicker establish and determine whether things are true or not in that particular period, that we need to get into a phase and into a time where we can hopefully do away with all of this muddled up, with this mess, sooner before it starts to divide societies. Because it is the kind of thing that, as we see, as divided a society, divided nations, and can have potential massive harm, and their great repercussions, of course, at a state level. So we cannot discount and say that just because it's a video, it's going viral, we're sharing it via WhatsApp, we're sharing them via Twitter, they have long-term consequences. And so I'll take your thoughts on these viral videos on 011-883-0702. I've been concerned personally for some time now, especially when you think of how we can manipulate images, how we can manipulate videos, and how, of course, we can use them to entrench certain agendas. And that something that was maybe to share and spread news can be twisted for harmful purposes. Let's go to Patrick calling from Jabulani. Good afternoon, Patrick.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Your thoughts, Patrick?
Yeah, you see on that video on the Katlehong, where they said some foreigners are coming to kidnap girls at a school. There is a traffic cop there. She's the one who says, Baswadi, could you come and collect your kids?
Yes. Patrick?
Yes. In an issue like that, what happens to the say the traffic cop, because she's a woman of
yes,
uniform.
Yes.
She's supposed to be spreading, maybe say drug news, or say, people don't panic, this is what is happening, or this is false news. But she's the one who gave out that information. And then when my wife called me, she sent me that, and she was, God, she was just...
in a panic, yes. If I recall correctly, that traffic officer was suspended, wasn't she? There was some kind of action. I'll verify that in a moment, Patrick. But you're right, because that fueled the fears that many parents were feeling at the time. You're spot on. But before the half hour ends, we'll just conclude that. If I read correctly, there was action taken. Patrick, thank you for your call. And let's go to Mike in Victory Park. Hello, Mike.
Hi, yes, let me find out. If, according to your guest, they seem to know who the people are that originated those tweets, why are they not being charged with hate speech, like if it was something against racism?
I see. So some kind of criminal action being taken against people who disseminate.
That was very quickly.
And we can easily plead innocence, Mike. What do you think of that?
No, I mean, I know that if you retweet something, whether you originated or not, you are still guilty of the retweeting.
Yes, yes, yes. The rules.
People should be very careful when they're retweeting.
Yeah.
You've had in your shows when people don't tweet, reply to a WhatsApp group. They're guilty as well for not saying, listen, guys, stop it.
Correcting matters. You're right. Mike, thank you.
It's a big mess, yeah.
Yeah, it is a big mess, and it's causing chaos in our society. That's Mike in Victory Park, but we'll explore that to see what can be done if there is any kind of if there are repercussions if we do spread false information. Yes, back to the caller earlier on, just to clarify, yes, it's true. The Ekurhuleni Metro officer was suspended for spreading fake school abduction news. So that's what happened, Jablani. Let's go to Elvis in Alex. Hello, Elvis.
Hello, Azaria.
Hi, Elvis.
Yes, you know, I want to comment about these videos which are circulating in our country. There is a woman, I'm sure it happens now, that video is like she was beaten in Nigeria. I'm sure it's Lagos, because I saw something like Lagos. You know, it's very disturbing, and I think those videos are the ones that makes people serious, because the way they were beating, it was like, you know, people who don't think, this is a woman, she doesn't have power, she doesn't, they were kicking her like that. But when I look at the video, at the end, you can see that this is not real.
That it's not real? When you say real, in what sense? That the beating is not real? Or?
At the end, another guy, you know, the wiki, whatever it is, that one they put, the woman put there. They grab that wiki, and they just look at that wiki and they laugh. And you can see that this is...
Oh, I see. Oh, so they were acting. Yeah. It wasn't a real... it wasn't a real meeting.
It's very disturbing. And, you know, yesterday, late, people gathered, and I think they saw that video. People gathered outside the Boxer store. I'm sure you know Boxer store in Alexander.
Yeah.
And they were angry that they wanted to ban them. And, fortunately, police were around early and they stopped them.
Okay, thank you, Elvis. There's another threat that it poses, because I think the video that he's talking about, it's not from South Africa, but it depicts a woman being beaten by the business owners. And it was said to be from this Boxer, and therefore there was a protest the next day. So it can cause great harm. Tsepo, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Tsepo. Your thoughts on these fake videos?
To me, I feel like the videos are linked to a much, much bigger issue here, which relates to the country's intelligence systems. I think a lot of what's happening on the ground and what's being perpetrated on the media is something we really should be in control of by now. We should be knowing who exactly is doing what and how they're doing it, because I'm a South African and I don't have any issues with other Africans coming and doing business in our country, because I also want to go and do business in Africa. So it would be stupid of me to say people mustn't come and trade and just try and feed their families.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of South Africans actually feel that way. But if a lot of South Africans feel that way, then who exactly is behind these xenophobic attacks? Is it really South African people? Is it genuine concerns? Or is it a group of people trying to push
destabilize? Yeah.
So I think it's pointing a finger at our intelligence system and showing how weak it is.
Yeah.
And we really need to start fixing it right now. We don't know what can happen.
Absolutely, Tsepo. Thank you. I think that's a really sobering point, that fingers and just questions about the abilities of our intelligence services. So who, if there is, you know, whose agenda is this? How are they driving this agenda and to what end? And if there are people that need to be prosecuted, the masterminds, whoever may be pulling the strings, if at all, going according to, if we are to follow Tsepo's line of thinking and the worries and the concerns that he has, why are we not seeing action? Right, so let's get on to the second story that we're looking at today. Neftali, you're breaking this one down for us. You looked at whether or not 80% of foreign nationals or Hillbrow, is it proven that Hillbrow is occupied by 80% of foreign nationals?
Okay, so right off the bat, we gave this claim an unproven verdict.
Okay.
This is mostly because there is no evidence to prove that Hillbrow is 80% foreign national. And we've tried now for the second time we're doing this claim. But on that same token, the best source of information, according to a lot of experts, is a national census, of which the last one we had was in 2011,
yeah,
8 years ago. The next one is 2 years from now. So according to that, just about 46% of the people in Hillbrow report to be foreign-born.
Mm.
And that is the highest figure in the inner-city suburbs of Johannesburg. But like I say, that's from 2011. That doesn't mean there isn't any other data. For example, the Gauteng City Region Observatory, every 2 years they do a quality of life survey. Now, obviously, it's not as comprehensive as a national census, but it still gives a rough picture of the makeup of the city that reports to be foreign born. And even according to that, the latest quality of life survey from 2017-18,
yeah,
there isn't any single suburb in Johannesburg that reports levels of foreign-born nationals, yeah, up to 80%. In fact, the highest figures, according to that quality of life survey, is something like 36% in Hillbrow as well. And I think yeah, that is the problem, that there is no
but let's
more
go
recent
back.
Data.
There isn't more recent data, yeah. And I know that Kate, your colleague, had a showdown with Mayor Herman Mashaba on the station last year, in fact, for comments that the mayor had made.
Yeah.
And she was clear to say that 80% was actually from his experience of the raids that were done in hijacked buildings in town.
Yes, this is something that SA also has echoed. They say that any kind of claim about the makeup of the city that is not from the census is actually purely anecdotal.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And then, of course, there was Bongani Mkhongi, and the video where this claim is made has been circulating yet again. Do we have time to play it, Karabo? Let's take a listen to what led to the requests that the team from Africa Check interrogates this particular claim that 80% of the residents of Hillbrow are foreign-born.
The question arises, and we must investigate also what is the law of South Africa says. How can a city in South Africa be 80% foreign nationals? That is dangerous. That in Hillbrow and the surrounding areas, South Africans have surrendered their own city to the foreign nationals. The nation should discuss that particular question.
Right, and that's the sound the sound from video that has been going around. Former Deputy Minister of Police Bongani Mkhongi claiming that Johannesburg is 80% foreign nationals, and those are his sentiments added to the claim. And Africa Check, of course, got more requests for this claim to be interrogated, and turning, of course, to Stats SA's data from the 2011 census and looking at this such an interesting breakdown, because you have about 10 suburbs: Doornfontein, Berea, Bezaden, Hood Valley, Yeovil, Hillbrow is included, Jobert Park, and so on. Mm-hmm. So Hillbrow is at, as you say, just under 46%. Yes. Then we have Yeovil at just under 45%. And then the others below that, Braamfontein, 42%. And then the others are, you know, 35% in Booysens, 27% in Doornfontein. They're largely in the 20s.
Yeah, it is. And the quality of life survey from the Gauteng City Region Observatory actually showed that on average, about 25% of respondents in and around the city of Johannesburg report being foreign-born.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask about this one quickly. You might be able to give us a quick answer before we take headlines. Maeshwa Motshwete, who was the Minister of Home Affairs' spokesperson before he resigned from government, Minister Malusi Kikaba had posted saying that SA hosts the most amount of African immigrants on the continent. SA was first allowed free visas of SADC in 94. SA has granted legal stay of over 200,000 illegal immigrants, and SA has most liberal refugee regime, and government has sometimes moved ahead of its citizenry. So that was his post, and Sir Charles tweeted to say, can we please have Africa Check investigate this claim and come back to us? Because he says, from my understanding, Kenya or Uganda are the countries with the most refugees on the African continent. Uganda, from my understanding, was the country with the highest number of refugees.
I mean, we can definitely add it to our growing list of claims. Yeah. I think in our experience, these checks around immigration, refugees are always a bit tricky, but we'll definitely give it a closer look and see what we can
put together. We'll forward it through.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Naftali Khumalo as well as Kaylee Clifford, researchers at Africa Check. I've been retweeting the links from the Africa Check social media handle. If you want to take a closer look at the reports that we've mentioned today, just simply follow @AfricaCheck.